Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. A new interactive play in town is creating a unique learning environment. It's called Greater Good, a collaboration between Company One Theater and the American Repertory Theater. The play physically moves the audience through different times and spaces of a progressive independent private school, unfolding themes of privilege, access, and governance in the education system. Playwright Kirsten Greenidge is the creator of Greater Good and joins me now in the studio. Kirsten, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So a colleague of mine and my daughter and I, we all came to see it last week. It's a striking production. Describe how it's set up.
It's set up that you enter the play and you see the first act, and the whole audience comes in and sees that act, and then the audience is split up into groups and sees the second act, and everybody sees a different play. All the scenes are set up in different rooms of the house. We're in the Commonwealth School in the Back Bay, and then we all come together for the third and final act.
In that second act, does everyone wind up seeing all the scenes, or do different groups see different scenes?
We all see all the scenes. We see them in different order. So all those groups are experiencing the play in a different way.
So I don't want to give away too much, but one of the things that was striking to me, so I brought my 17-year-old daughter who was in school, who's in high school, and we at different scenes had very different reactions. There was one, for example, there was one scene that I wasn't sure I completely understood, and my daughter leans over to me and says, "This is my life."
Oh.
It's a scene where they're talking about performance pressure in school and what the messages are to a student. Did you design it so that different parts would speak to different kinds of audience members or people with different lived experiences?
Yes. So that's the part of what's going on with those different scenes coming at everybody in different ways. It's really supposed to play with the idea of point of view. And so that the conversation people are supposed to be having at the end of the play is, what did you see? What did you experience? It might be a little different than what I experienced, but let's try to have a conversation about it.
So there's a lot of experimentation in location, in the sequencing, different groups, seeing things at different times. How did you organize that to ensure that everyone would experience a cohesive story?
I had the help of a very skilled dramaturg and dramaturgy team, in the help of Alana Brownstein, who's the head of dramaturgy, the director of new work at Company One Theater, where I'm in residence with the help of the Mellon Foundation and HowlRound here in Boston. And very early on, when I just decided to do this play, we started having conversations about how to get this done, how to work on it. And she is really great at dividing the work up into lots of charts and lots of charts and figuring out how does this work on paper, and that's how will this work in this space. So we started working on devising this a long time ago, years ago. How might we move bodies through time and space, and then going back and rewriting lots of workshops. So this was obviously the last few weeks were not the first time that we were just figuring out how it all might work. We've been working on it for a very long time. That's been the fun of working on plays.
In a play that's about equity and governance, why is it important to move bodies through time and space? Why not? So as you say, this play is, one attends this play in a school, not in a theater. So why is it important to do that?
Part of it is the type of school that we're moving through is a progressive school. And part of the tenets, the things that are holding up this school, is the idea of learning through experience.
So the progressive school is the school, Gleason Street,
The fictional school that the play is about. And the people who run that school believe that children learn well through learning through experience. So I wanted to make sure that my play mimics that. And so we have the audience moving through time and space and actually learning about the people in this setting through experience. So that's part of the reason why I decided to marry form and content in that way.
You have this one character. You have many fascinating characters in the play, but there's one, Christine, and she's played by Rachel Cognata. Did I pronounce that last name right? She strikes me almost like the Shakespearean chorus. Mm. So she's one of the parents at this school, Gleason, and as the scenes unfold, we learn more about her experience. She's a parent of color. That gives her a unique perspective. She's also new to the school's parents' council and really quite struck by sort of the messiness of the governance. What is Christine's character supposed to teach us?
First of all, she is supposed to be us because she, when we meet her, she's experiencing this counselor for the first time, and she has a lot of questions about how things work. And at one point, because the play moves backwards in time, I won't give away too much, but she does have some questions about how she comes to serve on the board. And we learn through her about the board's dysfunction, and we learned to question the board and what it's doing and how the board and the people within it are trying to work together for the greater good. So she serves as us in a way.
So the play is full of many challenging conversations, sometimes one-on-one, sometimes in groups. You address everything from race to gender identity to socioeconomic status, even to the power struggle between teachers, people working with the young people, and their parents. What's at the heart of the struggle across those difficult conversations that you really want to get across?
I think the ability to really listen to each other. And then once you're listening to each other, to really take in other people's points of view and to try to move forward. The word, I don't think I'm giving away too much to say that the word forward is repeated throughout the script. Forward, forward, forward. How are we supposed to move forward? And a lot of the characters in this play are really unable to listen to each other and take each other in.
What does your play underscore about what's happening in the real world, whether that's Boston or that's the United States, or maybe your ambition is to communicate about what's happening even broader scale?
I think that inability to take each other in and listen to each other and move forward in a comprehensive way that's going to bring about lasting change.
I'm so interested. Can you say a little bit more about this idea of being able to take each other in?
I think there's a lot of speaking at and not a lot of taking in and speaking with each other in small groups, and then also at the national and global level.
What's one behavior you might like to see people practice differently in their own lives after they've seen your play?
There is a question at the end of the play in terms of how can we make change where we are? So a lot of people might say, well, I'm just one person. How do I make change? There are many seats, tables of power that we sit within, even if they're small tables. And so if my play can get someone to say, where am I and how can I make change, even as a small little ripple, I'd love for that to happen.
Wow. Playwright Kirsten Greenidge is the creator of Greater Good, which is playing at the Commonwealth School through August 17th. Kirsten, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
That is our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi, and I'm Tisiana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.